It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy.
Hey guys, welcome to Resin Mastery, exploring iCoat epoxy. Today's episode is top 10 epoxy resin listener questions and answers from the experts. How are you doing today, Ian?
I'm great. How are you? And how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was good. It was good. I kind of got a little bit too fun. But besides that, it was good.
Yeah, the joy of youth, right? You can have a little bit too much fun. Well, I love this episode because these are the questions that our listeners have actually sent in through the website and also through the podcast channel. And we're going to be joined today by our experts, Tim from iCoat and Tiffany from Savvy Revolution.
Hi, I am Tiffany with Savvy Revolution, and I am here at the iCoat studio, and we are working with epoxy. If you are interested in finding any of my other products, you can find me at Savvy Revolution at Instagram and at Facebook.
A lot of these are questions that I think a lot of people have, Rachel, and it's going to be great to cover them and just let people know that there are actual answers out there. It isn't a guessing game. It isn't a figure it out for yourself. So
yeah,
this should be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. I'm really excited to have them on the show. And I'm actually really excited to hear what the questions and the answers to them are, because even though I've dealt with it, I am not an expert. So
right, exactly. And to our listeners out there, we were just talking about this in the pre-show. You don't have to be an expert to be actually really good at using epoxy resin and making everything from, you know, flower preservation pieces to Christmas ornaments, coasters. You don't have to be a genius and you don't have to be an expert.
No, you do not. You just have to be
have
a person
fun.
With hands and and a brain to have fun.
Exactly. These are in no particular order. So why don't we fire away on the first one? So the first one is, how long does it take epoxy to dry in between coats? Now, that's an interesting question, right? Because people would say, wouldn't you just fill something up with epoxy and just walk away? Why would you add a second coat to it? So interesting thought, right? So what happens if you come back to your epoxy and there's a fly landed in it, you know, and you're like,
right.
Or there's
like,
a hair in it, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody knocked it while it was curing, and just anything can happen, right? So, you know, no one's in like a lab situation. So,
oh yeah. There's so many extenuating circumstances going around, like, at any given time. It's
yeah, it is, right? So, you know, the good part is once epoxy dries, you can actually sand it, right? You can sand it, and then obviously you don't want something that's all scratched up, so you'd be looking for a second coat. Or you can do what's called a flood coat. So let's say you've got something that is nearly finished and you just want to take out the last little perfections. You can do a very last flood coat, and you know, that will do. But let's go to our experts and let Tiffany from Savvy Revolution and Tim tell us the answer to this question.
Some of these cups are multiple coats. So how long do you wait in between?
With your epoxy, I can actually go 2 hours and I can reapply.
Okay.
And we call it a flood coat. And so we can flood coat it in 2 hours and then it'll still run and it'll flatten out and beautifully shine.
Okay, guys. So here's the second question. And this is something I've actually wondered a few times myself when I've purchased products or even thought about making products, is, are epoxy tumblers safe to drink out of? What do you think about that, Ian?
You know, it's interesting. We made some really cool Halloween decorations one year. And what we did is I went actually to the 99 cent only store, bought a bunch of plastic cups, the Halloween cups. And then what I wanted to do is I wanted to embed spiders and things in there. But obviously I wanted to cover them in a way where bacteria couldn't get under. I also wanted them to be coated. So I actually used epoxy in there, let it dry, and then we used them on Halloween. Now, whether it's safe or not, hey, maybe it's something we just have to ask the experts.
When we formulated our epoxy, it was important for us to work in commercial kitchens and in food prep areas to make it so that it's food grade and approved for that. I imagine that's important when you're doing something that you are drinking out of or eating off of.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when you're doing a cup and you have somebody drinking off of a lip. That is one thing that is really, really important. And that's what I look for in a product, is to make sure that it is going to be food grade and FDA safe.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, good.
So that's a great answer. Yes, they are safe. And actually, epoxy's food safe. So whether you make an epoxy countertop, you can actually put food on it, like stainless steel. It's one of the two non-porous surfaces. Everyone thinks, oh, well, but I've got fancy granite at home. Granite's very porous. Bacteria gets trapped in the granite. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of those where if you're coating a tumbler, and I think you've done this before, right, Rachel, where you've actually coated a tumbler and made a design out of it.
Yep. Little purple sparkles, little tiny little bats in there. It was like kind of like a Halloween theme. Super fun, actually. I did it in 2020, while ago, but it was really cute and functional, and like I could tell, like I couldn't taste anything. You know, it didn't taste like any chemicals.
Yeah, like plastic, right? Yeah,
yeah.
And now we know it's safe from the experts, right? So,
yeah,
so that's really, that's great to know. And again, one of the easiest things you can do it there, go and buy a bunch of cheap tumblers from the 99-cent store that kind of ugly, or even maybe got someone else's logo on it. And you can epoxy over them and make your own bling, you know, cup to take with you everywhere. Yep. So question number three from our top 10, which is, can you use epoxy outside in the hot summer sun? I wonder what they mean by that. Do you think they mean, can you make it, or can you make something out of it that sits in the sun? What do you think?
Maybe what like happens to it if you make something outdoors, probably.
I think that's what they're talking about, because I know you can obviously mix it outside. Some people prefer to do that. Put some like old mixing towel down, get a bucket, get a either a stir or one of those attachments to a drill that you can actually mix with. So they must be talking about, you know, using it outside. Like maybe if you made a table, like those beautiful river tables, could you put one of those outside in the sun?
That's a good question.
Let's ask Tiffany from Savvy Revolution and Tim, see what their answer is.
What about if I wanted to do a product outside? So I want to do a table and it's outside. How is that going to affect with, especially here in Arizona, how is that going to affect our epoxy?
Everything we do is UV stable.
Okay.
So we have UV additives in there. However, epoxies degrade in UV light. Doesn't matter if you put, a lot of people talk about putting a polyurethane or something over the top of it to block as an inhibitor for the UVs. But that'd be like if you were white like I am right now and put a bunch of sunscreen on, walked outside for 10 hours, you're going to get burned. So epoxies are like that. Outside, there's other different products that we make that are really well suited for that. However, transitional sunlight is one thing. So if you've got an outdoor kitchen or something and it gets sunlight between 9 and 11:30 in the morning, or conversely 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon, something like that is fine.
Okay.
Being straight up out in the elements is not good for epoxies at all. But transitional sunlight is okay.
Okay, so that's really interesting, Ian. Yeah. I did not know that the epoxies would amber outside, and like especially with the differences in light, you know. That
yeah, I think if they've got a lot of light, they will. If it's direct sunlight all day long, I think it's just like Tim said, if it's just passing light, I don't think that's really an issue.
Yeah, not too bad, but just
Maybe for people, if you're making something outside, especially if it's under an overhang or somewhere where it isn't getting that direct sunlight all the time, and this, again, I think as well, the thinner the coat, the less you'd notice it. I think the thicker the coat, you'd notice it as well.
Yeah. So next question is epoxy resin safe to use indoors? And that's an excellent question because, gotta know that.
Yeah, so we've actually just went from outdoor use, and we were talking about mixing outdoor, now we're talking about indoor use. So I would guess, before we go over to our experts, and I would say that because I've actually done a whole craft project that you can find on the website with my kids, that it's I think the it'd be yes, safe to use indoors, obviously with maybe a caveat, which is don't drink it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't rub it in your eyes.
Yeah, don't get it on, like, all over you or anything like that.
Right, or over, you know, over the, you know, like any art project, right? Rachel, you'd put down some paper, you'd put down a cloth. If you were painting inside, you'd probably do the same thing, right? So no different than that.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The interesting part is, I know there's are cheap epoxies out there that smell really bad. I know our epoxies safe to use indoors because they are non-toxic and very low fumes. So let's go to the experts. There's some, maybe this is one for Tim. Tim, what's the answer to this?
Okay, so now let's talk about safety working in the house. Is it okay to use in the house around your kids, around your family? If some crafters, they use it in their kitchen. Mm-hmm. They use it in their craft room. They create their own spaces. Is it safe to use all around the house?
Yeah, and then the answer is yeah, mostly. Okay. So unless you have a known plastics or an amine allergy, which is very, very rare. Mm-hmm. With our epoxies, you're really not going to have an issue. You notice it doesn't smell.
Absolutely,
it's as low amine of an epoxy as you can get, mm-hmm. which means that there's not any VOCs, there's not anything that's hazardous that's coming off of it. It's just a reaction occurring. There are some people, just like cement, if you're a cement contractor, some guys are allergic to cement, they'll get cement burns on their legs and mm-hmm. things like that, whereas somebody else won't. So that's a personal thing. If you have a lot of known allergies, you might want to throw on a respirator if that's an issue for you. But for 99.9% of the people, it's just not a problem. We try to formulate everything so that we can meet all LEED Platinum standards and things like that.
So that was my thought. It is safe to use indoors. Again, it's just, you know, natural precautions, not being silly, not throwing it around or doing things. And again, the safety is many things. If you ask them whether it's safe to, you know, get in your carpet, probably not, as much as it's mm-hmm. not safe to, you know, smear all over your face as well. Some people don't use gloves. We recommend people use gloves in case they have an allergy. You know, some people have plastic allergies and that can actually be something. But yeah, so it is safe to use indoors. So Rachel, I'll take question five. So question five, how do you get epoxy off your skin or hands? And we were just talking about gloves, right?
Yep. And this is the biggest question for somebody like me. I always end up making a little bit of a mess, and it's usually on my hands, like when I'm painting or like doing anything with glue, and I have gotten epoxy on my hands. And I will say it is very sticky if you try to get it off with just water and soap. It doesn't work like that.
Exactly. So it's one that, you know, I'm the super glue king. I'm like, I didn't get super glue anywhere, as I can't separate my thumb from my index finger, right? I'm like, oh, thought it was somewhere, you know. And in the same way with the epoxies, right?
Yeah,
it's if you're having a craft day, these things can get on things. So again, who do we ask for the answer?
Tiffany and Tim.
Let's ask Tiffany and Tim.
If you get something on your hand, same thing, you can just take a little denatured alcohol and clean it off.
And if you don't have any of that, baby wipes and lotion works amazing. Water will just make it sticky, but if you use baby wipes, it'll get that off. And then lotion, I have found that just completely takes it completely off. And I don't have any issues when I lotion.
Oh, you know, I love that. It's such an easy, simple fix, like lotion or baby wipes. Like, that's actually a lot easier than I would have thought.
Yeah, you wonder, right? If baby wipes can get epoxy off, what do they do to the baby's bum?
It's like, no, for real. super clean,
exactly. And the denatured alcohol works great as well, like rubbing alcohol. Just get mm-hmm. a couple of like those face pads or a cloth, just mm-hmm. wipe it in there, and that gets it off. Like you said before, don't do the soap and water thing.
That'll just smear it around and it'll just stay sticky. It just doesn't really ever stop.
No, it doesn't. It just keeps going. It's like a super glue, right?
It just gets real. And ever spreading, and it just like gets everywhere too if you like aren't careful. So our next question, and this is a really good one because I've actually heard a lot of my friends who have told me that they've worked with resin before, this is actually a problem they've had. So it's, why does epoxy look cloudy and does temperature affect epoxy? Which I think taking temperature into account is a really good idea. I wouldn't have even thought about that for whatever reason, but.
Well, I'm going to go with a yes on this. I know a little bit about how mixing works, and I know I've been shown before you use like a put your bottles, the A part A and part B, in some warm water first. So my guess is going to be that yes is the answer, that temperature does affect it. How hot, I don't know. Because, you know, obviously you don't want it blazing hot. Right. But cold and cloudy, the cloudy part's the interesting bit to me. So, hey, I think we're going to have to throw it over to our experts to answer this question for us. Tiff?
Yes, thank you.
Tim, take it away.
Okay, so why does the epoxy and the resin look cloudy when it's cooler temperatures versus clear when you have the warmer temperatures before you mix?
Well, if you were to take a bottle of cold epoxy and mix it, it's going to turn straight up white. It'll look white.
Yes.
And what it is just air mixed in there.
Okay.
So our epoxy, when you look at it in the bottle, is water clear. So it's absolutely clear. Even at cooler temperatures, until you start mixing it. The whitish coloring is actually just bubbles mixed into it, so you can't see through it anymore. You've got air pockets in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's why we like to use it at a warmer temperature.
Okay, so for instance, when we're working indoors, we're working inside with the air conditioner. What do you recommend? Do we block that vent in that room? How should we work the epoxy when we're working in those rooms?
Unless you have really dirty vents where it's, you know, when it turns on, it's blowing dust out of it, and then you might want to see somebody about that. It's really not going to be an issue.
Okay.
You know, I like to work with, you know, in the air conditioning, because I don't like it when it's 115 outside, like it's right now. But you shouldn't have any trouble with that. If you had your epoxy stored in your house for 4 or 5 days and it was 72 degrees, I would personally put that in a bucket of hot water before I used it to get it up into that 80 to 90 degree range where I like to work at it.
Okay.
So, and again, depending on what you're doing and what you like to do, you can adjust that temperature anywhere along the thing you want. The hotter it is, the faster it's going to take off. The colder it is, the less it's going to release bubbles. But that goes back to somebody's personal preference.
Yeah, and the more issues you would have based on on the coldness.
Right.
Yeah, so Rachel, I got my answer right on that one.
You did, Ian.
Yeah, the heat does affect it, and getting it to the right temperature to mix is great. Now, we actually have on our website a best practices sheet that actually has the temperature. So just go to artist.icoatproducts.com and you can actually get that best practices sheet's free, and it'll tell you what temperatures to get the epoxy to get the best mix between parts A and part B. And on the cloudy side, yeah, I didn't realize that's what happens when it's too cold.
Yeah.
It just actually, it's air in it, and it just looks that cloudy looking sort of thing. So
never thought about that.
Maybe that's also why you use the heat gun as well, because that makes it crystal clear, takes the water out of it, takes the air out of it, and gives you that clarity.
Yeah.
So question 7 from our listeners in our top 10. So, can I use a second coat of epoxy to cover imperfections? What do you think?
Well, I've done nails before, and nails aren't really on the same scale, but it's still kind of, you know, you're working with resin.
Yeah.
And I would say that, yes, probably, because when I get my dip nails done and there's like tiny little bumps on it, they just do like a clear coat of gel and they cure it under the UV light, and then it's pretty shiny and you can't even tell. So maybe it's like that.
I'm actually going to take a guess, because of the first question about how long does it take between coats to dry, that I think the answer's got to be yes, but who should we ask?
The experts.
Let's do it. Tim, Tiffany.
So if I sand my cup and I have the scratchy bubbled layer, or if I do a decal and just part of it kind of picked up a little bit, now can I just do a second layer on top of that, and will that just cover it nicely?
Yeah, if you had scratches, even deep scratches, what it's going to look like is whatever it is, if it has standing water on there. So you'll see the water takes away the scratches, just like if you had a scratch on a truck or whatever, you spray it with water, it's gone, it disappears. And that's the same thing, except the epoxy is going to cover that and fill in that point where, and it does it with bubbles too. So if you ended up sanding a lot of stuff on a bigger surface, you end up with a lot of voids, and you'll notice that they have a little bit of the dust. Once it dries, you're like, oh my God, like all these little bubbles that you had have dust in them now, and they look really bad. But if you were to clean that up and you had solved the problem with the underneath with the gas, at that point, the second coat would fill it in all absolutely perfect.
Okay, amazing.
Oh my gosh, I am so glad I got that one right. I knew it, I knew it.
Yeah, you did. That second coat, just like your nails, it's what you can do.
A girl will always know because of the nails.
Yeah.
Now, here's an interesting question that I actually hadn't even considered. It's, will a cigarette melt my epoxy on an ashtray? And I was like, I was thinking about buying one of those sometime.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that is because smoking, especially around where we are, is I don't know many people who smoke, and I don't think I've seen an ashtray in years. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, at church, they have one, but that's for cigars. So cigarettes, maybe, but would they melt epoxy? You think
question.
It's such a little amount of heat, or is it a little amount of heat? I don't know. What do you
think?
I
don't know how hot a cigarette burns, but I mean, it does melt through fabric and other things that are kind of made of other, you know, types of acrylic. So possibly, what do you guys think?
I think our audience has asked this question because a lot of people ask him, but...
Hey, Tim, Tiffany, what's the answer?
I've seen this question asked on the artist forums quite a bit, and we're always trying to pay attention to come up with products to solve problems that people may have. And I was thinking the other day, the question came up about 10 times as I've been reading through this, but like ashtrays, people are making ashtrays. And they always ask, if you put the cigarette cherry in the ash, will it burn the epoxy? And the answer, yeah, it would. It's 400 degrees with a heat source and a flame. So I was thinking that how cool would it be if you knew what size the molds were and like stamped out like pieces of copper or pieces of stainless or pieces of something like that to embed in there? Would that be something that you
could do? Absolutely. That would actually, you would put that in while the mold is still setting up, and that way it would stick a lot better.
Sure.
And that would make beautiful what you can do. All kinds of
things. I know we're working on some custom colors for you.
Oh, yes. I'm excited.
Yeah, so wow, I didn't realize a cigarette got up to that temperature. And it's amazing that it would actually, if left on there, it's got a big enough heat source to actually melt the epoxy. Now, for those of you out there who have ever seen a Formica countertop burnt with a cigarette, there's nothing you can do.
Oh.
The amazing part, you've probably seen that, right?
Yeah, actually, I know exactly what you're talking about. For a second, I was like, Formica, but then I thought about it and I was like, I know exactly what that is.
You know, you get these older homes with that. Now, I actually remember asking about this, that if you have imperfections in a countertop that's epoxy, the great thing is it can be fixed kind of easy. Especially with someone who installs countertops, they can do it pretty quick as well. So again, I love the answer, Rachel, where they were saying how if you put like a metal sheet, a little metal circle at the bottom of the ashtray, or even pennies or something like that, that's what you could ash onto, and you're not going to then ruin the actual ashtray itself.
Yep, not, you know, messing up the integrity of it and also giving it like a good base. And you can make it fancy too.
Exactly. You could do anything. Like you could bling them, you could make them, you know, customized to the business or the place you have. I might even ask my church if they want to make some epoxy ashtrays with their Trinity logo on. I think that could be pretty
cool. That would be cool.
Could even be a craft for the kids out there. That's great. The next question then, and this is our number 9 out of our top 10, which is, and we're just talking about this, right, with countertops being damaged or an epoxy piece, like let's say it was even like a wedding preservation bouquet being damaged, How do I sand out imperfections? Now, I know people who do real high-end floor preservation, for them, it has to be crystal clear, so it has to be iCoat. And what they do is they will actually sand on several levels, and they will get it, and then they'll do a flood coat on it. So my guess here is that, yes, you can sand out epoxy imperfections, but maybe it's a little bit more detailed than that. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's okay to sand, but yeah, I feel like it would need some kind of technique for sure. You don't just want to be willy-nilly with it, you know, especially if it's something that you're already near the end with.
Right. So maybe this is a question that Tiffany can ask Tim, or Tim, what's the answer to this one? How do I sand out epoxy imperfections?
Let's talk about sanding out imperfections. Is there a right or a wrong way to do it?
There's so many different ways to do it. So when we are, say, on a countertop, and because that's what I do mostly. So you do a countertop, and there's certain things that can happen to it. You know, bugs, flies are definitely the biggest problem. If there's a fly in there, what you don't want to do is try to cut it out, just by itself, because you're always going to slice it up or make a bigger mess than it is. So you need to decide, is it just in the top and I knock it out, and if there's not a void there, you may be able to not have to worry about that at all. But if you did take a bug out, the best way to do that is you want to heat it up with a torch, that area, and it softens the epoxy and allows me to pick whatever I want out of there.
Okay.
If I've got a void that's big enough, I'm going to mix up a tiny little bit of epoxy. I usually will tape off right around the hole where it was, and then I will just take the epoxy, and I like to use a pencil, but you can use almost anything. I like to take a pencil, just put a little drip, 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 take the torch, heat it up. And the ideas you're looking for is that the surface tension, once the torch lays it out flat, you want it to be not a bubble, not an indentation, but you want it to be absolutely flat. So you have to get right down on it and take a look. But it can certainly be fixed like that.
Okay, so for instance, we get like waves, or we get fish eyes. We call them fish eyes on them. We sand those out, or you got to sand out when you have glitter. You want it completely smooth before you can put a decal on.
Right.
So is there a right and a wrong way to sand out that? Would you recommend going from a smaller grit to a higher grit, or wet sanding versus dry sanding?
I guess I would always do a dry sand.
Okay.
And if you wanted to create, what's going to happen is when you sand the epoxy, it's going to create a matte finish, which a lot of times is desirable on a countertop. Some people like a matte finish. So we just sand it with straight 400. Then you could go to 800 and 1,000 and 15 and 2,000, all the way up to 5,000 and polish it back, so it's almost as shiny as it was to begin with. Or you might be able to use the honing oil. That's another thing altogether, where we're just taking the peaks off of the surface and taking the sheen out a little bit. That works really well. That's done with a Scotch-Brite pad and our honing oil. But then you put another coat on. The fisheye, most likely from the epoxy that you were using before, where you're getting the, it's a medium viscosity, so this doesn't have the body to build, and when it starts to shrink, it's going to fisheye on you.
Like yeah, that. Okay.
Don't think you'll have that exact problem.
I haven't noticed any so far. It's been fabulous.
Oh, okay, I get it. So you just have to do it really carefully, and there are a few different ways to do it, but
yeah.
Definitely take your time and just, you know, make sure you're paying attention to what you're doing is what it sounds like too.
And I think the beautiful thing about it is, unlike other materials, like if this was, and let's say we're talking countertops here, if this was a granite countertop, the granite's ruined.
Oh yeah.
Very little to nothing.
Countertops.
Right. Or even marble, right? There's very little, you can glue the pieces back on, but it's sort of not the same. But at least with the epoxy countertops, they're food safe and they can be easily fixed. And what a great idea for a rental home.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. For Airbnbs, for sure. That's amazing. That should be a standard.
Hey, students as well. My son's in a house with a bunch of students. It'd be perfect for there. They could damage an anvil, those kids. Yeah. Right? So.
You're so right about that. I've literally watched a college-age student break a countertop in half. And that was crazy. Well, I have been wondering this, and this is actually going to be our last question of the day. But how do you correctly torch or heat epoxy? And I'm glad that other people are asking that question in our audience. And, I'm glad that you guys are being so intrigued with this and the actual treatment processes, because I know I am. I like to know how it works. So, what do you think about that, Ian?
Well, I've seen a video that I've watched a million times, and it's about 6 seconds long. And it's one of those YouTube shorts that I know it's on Instagram as well, that I just keep watching over and over because I'm like, that's fascinating. Because it's actually a flower preservation piece, and it's not clear at all. And the guy in the video takes the heat torch and he goes over it, and all of a sudden it's like crystal clear. And it's,
Oh,
yeah, it's like a magic trick. And I keep going, oh, let me watch that again. Because I just love seeing how they do that. And I'm like, that's amazing. You can just do that and make it crystal clear. So I'm thinking like it's one of those things where, yeah, you can do it, but how exactly to do it? There's probably a lot involved in this. So
yeah.
have you ever done it? Have you ever held one of those torches and used it over epoxy?
So I have once, but I was really young. I think I was like 10 or 11, long time ago. And I definitely had somebody like standing over me, making sure that I was holding it right.
Yeah,
And
the
I think it
power
was
in
for
that
like
thing, right?
10 seconds. But yeah, it's powerful and it's hot.
Yeah, hot
Yeah.
indeed. Okay, so we're gonna have to throw this one over to our experts, and let's see what Tim and Tiffany have to say about it.
Okay, so let's talk about torching because I see you have a ginormous torch. It's huge. It's bigger than what I would use. So, is there such thing as over torching the product?
Yeah, if you in on this particular look on a countertop, it wouldn't matter because we could actually cause it to burn on purpose. You'd notice it right away if you got a burn, it would bubble real quick. Then you just let it sit and knock it down a little bit, or you could actually take something and dig that part out, put other one on, take it with a brush,
Oh,
mix it
okay.
up. So it's not a big problem if you ended up with a spot like that. But the idea is just to pass the torch across there, and the flame doesn't even have to be on there because it's heat and the CO2 that's causing the bubbling to release.
Okay.
So it doesn't really have to be directly on there, but if you did over torch it, so to speak, you could create a burn spark. But while it's still wet, there's plenty of options to
Okay.
address that.
And as my cups are turning, at what distance should I hold the torch?
Oh, I'd probably put it just maybe a half inch or an inch of the
Okay.
flame above it, and things
Okay.
like that. Yeah.
So there you have it, Rachel. Yes, it's a amazingly great way of finishing a piece by heat torching it, but doing it right. You're not burning it to melt it down. You're actually just trying to get the top surface just liquefied enough where it actually, self levels and the epoxy resets crystal clear and actually takes all the bubbles out of it.
That's so awesome. I really, really love like all of the tips that we just went over, and that's so interesting too, because you definitely don't want to fry whatever you're working
No, you
on.
don't want to, put all that work into it and then, char it. Yeah. So,
Yep.
for Tim and Tiffany, thank you so much, guys, for those excellent answers to all those questions.
Yeah,
It's
thank
just
you.
really great to know that we've covered a lot of the top questions that people ask in this industry.
I think that you guys hopefully will enjoy this, and I know I did. Hopefully, Ian did as much as I did.
It was great. Yep. So until next time, we'll see you again on Resin Mastery, Explore and iCoat Epoxy. If you have any questions, send them in to us. And if you have any
Excuse me.
thoughts or even guest recommendations for the show, let us know and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
See you guys. Thank you so much. Have a good day.